Hey, welcome back for day five of our get ready for the season and really create what you want and enjoy it and all that good stuff. Today's topic is conditions of enoughness. And this is a concept, a practice that I cobbled together over many years, lots of trial and error from a number of different sources. And I'll go through with you how to use it. But first, I want to link it to desire, what we were talking about yesterday. For you to really have a juicy, honest relationship with desire that's not based in fantasy or big wishes or vague goals, and for you to not get waylaid by the things that get in our way, you both have to feel into what you really desire. Know that that's what you want so you can activate those parts of your brain, your neuromodulators. But you also have to give desire a place to land, a place to come into real life. And that's what conditions of enoughness are. Because until you declare regularly for yourself what will satisfy you, what will be enough, you really don't experience satisfaction. And you don't connect what you want and the feeling, the longing, and the yearning that is life living through you with your everyday prosaic life. We need to connect those two. Without knowing what is enough, without declaring that, desire can run away from you. It can feel overwhelming, unsafe. You can get, grand feelings of grandeur. Or, of course, you can just work too hard, too much. Conditions of enoughness help prevent all of that. So how do you use them? Well, I've given you a really wonderful cheat sheet, so that will help you go through the process. And that was the link to that is in your email, just like this audio was. But let me just tell you a few of the concepts and how you might use it, give you an example, how you might use it this season. The first is, and the most important, and this is what makes it different than any other goal setting system, okay? Really, really important. This is the key, is that you separate how well you want to do something, what you want the final outcome to be for that day or for the whole project, or how it will be received or what it will do for you or how others will react from what you do. So for example, when my mom was alive and I went through, 8 years of Alzheimer's with her, I could not set the condition of enoughness that when I went to visit her every day, I would not get annoyed with her. Someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, it can be really annoying and really trying to say the least, especially in certain stages. But I could set the condition of enoughness that when she's told the same story or repeated herself or whatever it was, I would say the loving kindness prayer to myself silently. It doesn't mean I wouldn't still be annoyed. That's not my condition of enoughness. Conditions of enoughness are things that we can do. They're within our ability, our control, and they're not dependent on our opinion about how we did it or anyone else's. They're fact-based, not assessment-based. That's the key. That's what can change your life. And really give desire, the things you really want, a way to be built and experienced and desire that feeling that keeps you motivated, that creates that intrinsic motivation. You can connect that with conditions of enoughness and then you really have a powerhouse. So I will write 500 words before checking email or turning on my phone or looking at the news. You can do that. I will write 500 brilliant words. I will write 500 words in 10 minutes. I will write 500 words that blow everybody away. Yeah, that's completely out of your control. Who could even judge what's brilliant? There is no brilliant in the world. What I think is brilliant, you may think is poo-poo. All right? So when we place our sense of well-being on how well we perform or how other people take in our work or our efforts or, I hope I'm going to have a great day with everybody on the picnic and everyone's going to be really, really happy. Well, you can't control that. Right? But we subtly do it to ourselves and we subtly undermine our intrinsic motivation and our belief in our desires as well as our self-trust. Conditions of enoughness build all of that. But let me just go through, and again, there's a handout for this. I print that out and keep it around. You name what is enough in facts that are dependent only on action you can take. That's the key. Now, I don't do conditions of enoughness for everything in my life. That feels, some people do. Some people, friends of mine and students of mine have used this tool for years and they'll just use it left and right. I use it for things I really desire but feel a little afraid of or overwhelmed or can't quite chunk down. The things that I'm going to let time monsters that we talked about a few days ago knock out of the way. That's where conditions of enoughness really, really help me. So that's number one. You name what is enough in facts that are dependent on you taking action, not on assessments or opinions or how it goes or what other people think. Number two, you give it some kind of measurement or what I often call container, like 500 words or before bed or once a week, right? Something that allows you to go, I did it. I did what I said I would do. So practice yoga three times for 15 minutes between now and Sunday. If you go longer, great, but it's not about raising the bar on yourself. It's about giving yourself a beautiful way to say, huh, that's what I said was enough and I did it. Then number three is you declare what you want to do and what is dependent only on you, but you make sure that you're doing it in a human way, human versus computer cyborg way. We live in a culture, as I say over and over again, that is making it kind of shameful to be a human with needs like sleep and eat and, you know, not work 17 hours a day at top productivity. You really need to go back to day one. In that video that I did for you, I think it was day one, pretty sure, maybe it was day two, and look at what's possible. You can do that as a week, you can do it for the whole season, or you can do it day by day. I tend to do it week by week, and then I do some adjusting as I'm going along. But we do not want to set conditions of enoughness that are impossible to meet, because right there, we're knocking our feet out from under us. So you really look at, where's my time? What's my energy? What I can do? It is so much better for your brain and your intrinsic motivation and honoring those desires to set the bar lower. You've been taught that setting the bar lower is for losers. It actually allows you to make incremental progress. And that is one of the most motivating things that we can do, especially when we're in creative realms, health realms, things that were not tangible, right? I'm not building a birdhouse. I'm not constructing a rocket. I'm writing a book. How do I know I've made progress? Oh, because I'm doing conditions of enoughness and I'm meeting them and I'm seeing that I meet them, which brings me to number four. When you finish what you said you would do, you celebrate in some way. It can be super small. It may feel super awkward. And this is the step everybody wants to skip, but it loops us back into the feeling of what we desire. It gives that feeling a place to root and grow, as well as our trust. I did what I said I would do. So if you say, wow, I'm going to walk 2 miles every morning before the kids get up, when you get back to the front door, you do a little dance. Do yourself a thumbs up. Give yourself a smile. Say, yeah, I did it. Voice, smile, and a little bit of body action really helps reinforce and wire together the neurons that say, I can be counted on. I do what I say I will do. I honor my desires. Conditions of enoughness. How many are you going to make? Probably not a lot. Do not overwhelm yourself. Lower the bar. Look at the handout. Go back to your list that you've been editing and playing with and chunking down of what you're hungry for this season and pick 1 to 3 things to create conditions of enoughness for just the next week. If you want to make them for the whole season, if that helps your brain and helps your, you know, feel good and clear, great, but know that they may well need to be revised and you may be getting a little bit ahead of your skis, okay? And questions? Tomorrow we have our live call. I'll help you tie all of these things together. We'll have time for Q&A. We'll have time for celebration. And I'll teach you some more new tools, just a couple, to really help bring all this home. I hope you found this little mini course helpful so far. I hope you'll consider joining us at the Weekly Oasis, where we do versions of this in creative, loving, mystical, practical, scientific ways every single week. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that on our call tomorrow, but mainly it'll be a teaching celebration, be together time. See you there, I hope. Yes, it will be recorded and we'll send it out. But if you want to ask a question, be there live. Thank you.